Isn't there a peace of God in this room that is so eternally precious? And it is indeed our privilege to be with you tonight and to worship with you. The Holy Ghost is very strong in this house. And I don't know what all God's going to do, but I'm going to believe God's going to do some great things within all of us tonight. I'm open for God to do something in my life. I'm open for God to talk to my brain. I'm open to God to talk to my heart, my thoughts and intents, and to my spirit and my attitude. If I say, I'm just going to open up to the Lord. Come on, I'm just going to open up to the Lord. This is a great week to be in Dallas, Texas, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be reaching for the lost that Jesus loves. Everybody say hallelujah. Everybody say, this is my church. Pat the chair right next to you and say, this is my chair. I'm going to fill it up. Come on, I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to bring somebody to the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to fill it up. Amen. Pat your neighbor and say, you're my brother, you're my sister. I'm going to make you look good, not bad. I'm going to build you up, not tear you down. I'm going to encourage you, not discourage you. I'm going to brag on you. Why don't you just pass a compliment to somebody right quick, will you? You look pretty. My wife and I went to school with George Creel High School, and his daughter is here tonight. I'm glad to see her. Amen. Our grandfather, Brother Jim Creel, when he passed away, our father, my brother and I, literally laid over the bathtub and wept. He loved him so much. You know, the people of God have a deep feeling for one another. This is not just a nonchalant relationship. We're going to live together forever, folks. Amen. I'm so happy to have my distinguished brother here tonight, Brother Arlen Gidrose. He's the hero of my life. He's such a blessing and support and wonderful confidant. I just love you, brother, so much. I told this at his, 50th anniversary or something. I said, I don't know if he goes to heaven before me, and he's only 10 years older than me, but if he goes to heaven before I do, I don't know what his wife will put on his grave. But every once in a while, she's going to have to tear off a cardboard sign that I duct taped to his tombstone. And that sign will say, he was his brother's keeper. And he has been my keeper. And I cherish my dear brother. I cherish my dear wife. I'm happy Jerry Ann is here tonight. She goes with me. My father commanded me when I was 19 years old. He said, don't travel without Jerry Ann. And we're traveling partners. We're just about to start traveling for sure. Amen. And I don't believe your Facebook can keep up with us. Amen. We're getting all things ready right now for our three-month tour of Connecticut, the month of September. We give a month a year to home missions, and so we'll be in Connecticut, every home missions church in Connecticut for September, New York City for October, and we'll be in Florida for November. So be praying for us that God will give us safety and give us souls. Everybody say amen. I love our pastor, Brother Shindo. I told him, in my observation, and I have sort of a unique observation in that I am privileged to preach in so many pulpits and observe so many ministers. There's not a better pastor in the world than Brother. I said, there's not a better pastor in the world than Brother Shindo. I mean, you folks have got a good pastor. And I tell you what really makes him astute in my mind is his respect for Brother McGahey. Makes me cry. Makes me cry. Especially when he has needed a true friend, as he has needed the last few years. So, Brother Shindo, we give you honor. You and your sweet wife. And yeah. I can't let this go by. When Pastor and his wife told Simeon and Anna up in Richmond, and we had preached for them several times, said we have made a decision to move to Hearst. Anna said, Daddy, does Brother Gidrow's preach there? I love you so much. Anna is so special. Can you say amen? Oh, my goodness. Y'all got me cranked up here tonight. Now, tonight is going to be a different message. And I'm not preaching at you. And I'm not appealing to you. I am basically just reiterating what we all know about this subject. And I think it is a key subject to our spiritual development and to the furtherance of this church. This church is going to catapult into tremendous growth and development. This church is at least twice as big as it was the first time we preached here. This church is growing. It's bonding. It's rooting. And I thank God for that. Can anybody say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. And so I'm reading from Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. How many want good measure? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With the same measure that ye mete withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now that verse of Scripture is one of the core doctrines of the heart of God. Because our God is a giver. You can't get into God and not be a giver. Because God is a river. And a river is always giving. In 2 weeks, I'll stand in the Kenai River in Alaska with my grandson and my son, and we'll be fishing for salmon. And we'll watch that old Kenai River wash down that volcanic ash water, catching salmon. But a river is not a lake. A river is flowing. Can everybody say hallelujah? And you can't get into God and not get into giving. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Come on, hallelujah. Can we give God a little bit of praise here tonight? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. The spirit that I dread the most taking a hold of my life is the spirit of selfishness. Selfishness is the root spirit of hell. Everything in hell is crying, me, me, me. Water, 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 me, me. Drop, drop, water, water, me, me. It's all about me, myself, and I. But heaven is all about thee, thee, thee. Praise thee. Worship thee. Love thee. Glorify thee. Exalt thee. Come on. And what caused Lucifer to lose his place was he lost his worship. When you lose your worship, you lose your place. And when we come to church, we come to worship. Thee, 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 thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. When you lose your worship, you lose your place. I have been blessed with the Lord prompting me of late to draw near to him. Because he said, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw nigh unto you. And I've been making a special effort to get closer to the Lord. Because people don't want to hear an old preacher just repeating himself. We want to hear from a heart that's close to the heart of the Lord. We want to hear from a pastor that cares about Jesus and loves Jesus and is all about Jesus and pushing Jesus. And folks, this church is all about Jesus and what Jesus is doing in our lives, in our families, in our homes. And so I've been pressing myself like the woman that went through the press and touched the hem of his garment, even though she was being mocked. And Paul said, we press toward the mark. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I'm not going to get closer to God by just positioning myself. I have got to press myself. We've got to press. And so here of late, Jerry Ann and I, we made some special trips. We came up to the North Texas camp meeting and water camp meeting night. Oh, my Lord, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost in Allen, Texas. And then we went the next week to Louisiana camp meeting for 2 nights, and I got it again. I got it several times again. I mean, I needed it, and I got it. Y'all okay? Then we made a special trip to the Mississippi camp meeting, Jackson, Mississippi. No reason to go at all, but to press. Hungry. Hungry. I hear myself preach all the time. Jerry Ann hears me all the time. She's got to hear other preachers. Help her press. Get close to God. Don't stagnate. Don't stagnate. Folks, it's easy to go to hell. It's easy to backslide. It's easy to quit praying. It's easy to quit pressing. Come on. So we went to Mississippi. And I'm telling you, I got the Holy Ghost several times on Thursday night and Friday. And then Friday night, oh, my Lord, my Lord. When Brother Morgan got through preaching and that whole camp meeting went into pressing. And they went into a spirit of prayer that lasted an hour and a half. And I pressed. And I remember it with all my heart. I was there and I pressed so hard that I felt like I was just going to soar on in to my eternal home with Jesus. I have never been as close to God in my life as I was on Friday night of Mississippi camp meeting. I want it to be that way every day. I don't want to just sit around. But I want to press. I said, I want to press. I want to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. I don't want to lose my journey. I don't want to lose my purpose. And I don't want to lose my closeness to Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody. I pressed. I kept pressing. And in my research, everywhere that a creature gets to the throne of God, they say the same thing. Every angel, when he gets to God, says, holy, holy, holy. The 24 elders, when they get to the throne, holy, holy, holy. There's not one creature that gets to God's throne that says anything but holy, holy, holy. God is different, folks. What we know is carnal, worldly. It has faults and failures, but our God is holy. And I want to be holy as he is holy. I want to be holy as he is holy. I want to take on the likeness of my God because he is holy. I want to be holy. And I want to live a life of reflection to his holiness in my life. Not be holy because pastor preaches holiness. Not be holy because of the different sermons we've heard. But be holy because he is holy. And I'm trying to have a relationship with the holy God. He's holy. We're going to press. This church is pressing. This morning I taught you that the reason this church is right where it is because this church has had its face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Pastor McGahey has given this church an agenda. Brother Shindall has given this church an agenda. This church is not dippity-doo-la, dippity-day. We're not just here rambling around in competition with other churches. I say hooby-dooby-doo on everything else, but this right here, this is all that's important. This is all that we're living for. We're living for this to be the biggest church in Dallas, Texas. Come on. I said we're living for this to be the biggest church in Dallas, Texas. Reaching every soul we can reach. And never let a person come to this church and it be less than holy, holy, holy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord? From my observation, I have witnessed tremendous blessings that God is pouring out in our churches. We just preached recently in Hartsel, Alabama. We preached in Hartsel over 50 years ago. Little bitty church in a little bitty building. But the pastor, Pitts, retired, and Brother Britt, young man, took the church. And he went to working in the city, reaching for people, reached for a young man, and he won him to the Lord. The young man has a business, and the young man brought him a check for $1 million to build a new building. And I preached in that beautiful new building here lately. It's magnificent. God is doing great things. I said, God is doing great things. Last summer we preached in Alexandria, Minnesota, in a little house church. 2 years ago, actually. And I told the pastor on the first day, first time I walked in that building, this church, we've got to get a building. He said, I know where one is. I said, let's go see it. We prayed. We walked through the building. About a $3 million building. And he said, I'm claiming this building. And we prayed about that building. They are now in that building. And it is almost paid for. A little church of 30 people in a beautiful, beautiful building in the hub of the city. It is nothing short of a supernatural miracle. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Last Sunday we were in Memphis, Tennessee, and the pastor, the church was the most packed of any building I've ever preached in. And the Lord is moving. They've got $500,000 in the bank. Their property is worth $1.5 million. And just down the street, I mean not a quarter of a mile, is the Tennessee Baptist Church Children's Campus of 70 acres and 7-bedroom brick houses all over the campus, big gymnasium. And it looks like they are about to miraculously purchase that building, that property, and have a mammoth outreach ability that they don't have right now, because God is doing a marvelous work in our world. Can everybody shout hallelujah? Come on, shout hallelujah. This church is in God's pattern of prophecy. This church is in God's pattern of revival. This church is on course. This church is beaming in on God's agenda. Come on, somebody shout with me. When I say way of life, you say revival. Way of life. Way of life. Way of life. Everybody say, we've got our face set toward Jerusalem. We've got our focus. We know God's agenda. We know God's plan. We're in God's will. And I told you what to tell the devil. Tell him again. Y'all are so timid. Every once in a while, you need to just kick it out. Come on. What? Everybody say, devil, go home. Get out of my checkbook. Get out of my investments. Get out of my career. Get out of my Bible study. Get out of my prayer life. Get out of my church attendance. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I told the devil to go to hell, and I did not cuss. That is his home. That's his residence. Can everybody shout hallelujah? There is revival in giving. And I'm not just talking about finances. If you don't know how to give worship, you are shutting down revival in your life. If you don't know how to give praise to God, you're shutting down revival. Every church I've preached in that has shut down worship has lost revival. One young preacher that I helped raise up told his church, he said, we're not going to speak in tongues in here anymore because we're inviting doctors and lawyers to come to church. And if they hear us speaking in tongues, they're going to think we're crazy. You can quietly speak in tongues in the prayer room. That church is no more. Because when you lose your worship, you lose your place. If you don't know how to come to church and give yourself to worship, give your praise, give your feet to dancing, give your hands to clapping, you're going to lose your place. I'm carrying too many burdens not to worship. I'm carrying too many burdens not to worship. I've got too many needs in my family to quit worshiping. I've got too many needs in my ministry to quit worshiping. I can't quit worshiping. Because if I quit worshiping, I'll lose my place. And I'll never be what God wants me to be. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And so we give worship to him. How many of you love to come to church and just raise your hands and say, holy, 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 holy. Go ahead, speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, everybody, just speaking in tongues. We're at the throne of God. We're not afraid. We're in his presence. We're in the presence of God. God is just as much in this room as he is at the throne in heaven. There's just as much Holy Ghost here as there it is there. Because our God is omnipresent. It is impossible for there to be one square inch in this universe that our God is not. He is here. If you make your bed in hell, he's going to be there. He is everywhere. And he can heal you right now. He can heal you right now. Everybody shout hallelujah. I was preaching in West Virginia several years ago, and it was on a Sunday morning. It was the deadest church service I'd ever been in my life. And I felt like everybody, 350 people, were sitting in lazy boy chairs, laid back, sound asleep. And I preached 20 minutes. And for some reason, the holiness of God came in that room. It was a shock. I mean, God just moved. And I said, now, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't talked to Pastor Hudson, but I'm going to ask the usher to come. And I'm going to ask them to receive an offering. And this offering is not for a need. It's not for a burden. It's not for some tragedy. It's not to pay the bills. This is just in honor of God's holiness. And I'm going to keep preaching while they receive this offering. When I got through preaching, $7,200 had come in that offering. And that night, several got the Holy Ghost, and I learned that cash flow and spirit flow is a dual conduit. I told my son Eldridge about it. He was preaching revival in a large Spanish church in Houston, and he told Brother Segura, the pastor, he said, Pastor, if I told you the Holy Ghost told me to take up a $100,000 offering tonight, what would you say? He said, you'll never get it out of these poor Spanish people. He said, but would you let me try? He said, I'll let you try. And Eldridge went to the pulpit and he started working. And he said, Daddy, I nearly died because everybody got so mad at me when I said we're going to receive a $100,000 offering tonight. He said it took me 30 minutes. I kept working. And finally a lady came and laid a $1,000 check on the pulpit. And when I got through, there was $120,000 in the offering. And 100 people got the Holy Ghost that night. That night. There was over 1,000 people there that night. And the next week, another 100 got the Holy Ghost. I learned that cash flow and spirit flow are dual conduits. And that God has never blessed a selfish church. God has never blessed a selfish spirit. The spirit I fear the most that would come upon Ronnie is the spirit of selfishness. Just keep my mind on vested interest. Keep my mind on not outliving what I have. Y'all okay? If I just focus on that and not on the generous coffers of our God that said, I shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory, then I lose focus and I lose my place and I lose my purpose. So I have found at our general conference in Houston several years ago, Brother Willoughby preached a message on the culture of Christ. Powerful message. $4.5 million came in that day. And the next night, on Sunday night, 1,100 people received the Holy Ghost. Anytime there's a sacrifice, it opens up the spirit flow of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. It never fails. Because when you give, it shall be given. A few years ago, Jerry Ann got a call from a cousin. We were rebuilding our little house in Galveston. And Jerry Ann gets a call from her cousin and says, Jerry Ann, have you looked in the newspaper, Houston Chronicle, in the section where it says Secretary of State, Austin, Texas, and all the hundreds of names of people that have money in Secretary of State? And Jerry Ann said, no. She looked and there was her name, Jerry Ann Lewis Gidrose. And she called the next day. And the lady said, praise the Lord, Sister Gidrose. I go to Brother Bernard's church and I work for the Secretary of State. Just a minute, let me check. And she checked and it was Jerry Ann's name, her address, and her Social Security number. And she said, Sister Gidrose, you have over $10,000 in the Secretary of State's unclaimed finances. And I'm going to hurry up and get it sent to you. And we said, praise the Lord. As soon as we got that check, I ran to my pastor, Brother Plant, and I gave him his tithing to the church. And we, to this day, that's been at least 6 years ago, have no idea how that money got in Secretary of State's office. But when you give, it shall be given. A few days before that, I had taken Jerry Ann to her doctor's appointment downtown Houston in the big Methodist Center. About 50 people in the waiting room. And I was sitting there. Just so happened that Jerry's another cousin was sitting there waiting on her husband. And I was sitting there talking to Ivanelle, and this great big bull of a man, must have weighed 350, had on bibbed blue carpenter farmer overalls in a big electric rolling chair. And he buzzed over there to where I was sitting on the couch with Ivanelle, 50 people at least. He had a big, boisterous, bellowing voice. He said, "Ma'am, would you scoot over? This man here has got an anointing on his life." And I mean, everybody could hear. I'm thankful for the anointing, but I'm not too thankful for everybody knowing about it. "Would you mind scooting over?" And Ivanelle scooted over. And he pulled out of his overalls two $100 bills and gave them to me in front of all those people. And everybody saw him give me that $200. And he said, "Now, sir, do you want that to multiply?" And guess what I did? I nodded my head. "Would you?" I nodded my head. He said, "Well, don't keep it. Give it away." So 2 weeks later, I was taking up the offering at our camp meeting in Houston, and I told that story, and I said, "I'm giving that man's $200 away today." And then we get a call from the Secretary of State. Because when you give, it shall be given. Oh, but Brother Gidrose, if they would really get up here and sob and give us a sad story, I would give. Some can only give from sob stories. But Sheba broke that little habit because Solomon didn't need one thing. His wealth was so mammoth. Come on. But she loaded down her chariots with onyx and cinnamon and gold, silver, and she brought it to Solomon. A whole train load, caravan load. And whenever she got out in front of the house and she started to come in, old Solomon said, "Sweetheart, glad to see you. Wait a minute, I got something for you." "Oh, just hold off, hold off. Keep them locked up, keep them locked up. Keep those cabinets locked up. Just come in." And when she came in and looked around at the stacks of gold and all of the opulence of his kingdom, she fainted. She passed out. And Solomon said, "Now, you're leaving to go home, and I want you to go in here and get all the two-wheelers you got on your caravan. And we're going to load down every square inch of empty space. You're going to take home all the gold and wealth that you want." And it teaches us a lesson that when we give, it shall be given. And it doesn't have to be because we had 50 chairs that their legs broke this week and we need to buy 50 more new chairs. And last month we couldn't pay the lot bill here at the church. You don't need sob stories for Sheba. You don't need sob stories for the Israelites that built the little tent tabernacle and decided it's time to just give glory to the holiness of God. And they started bringing in money, and Moses had to literally shut them down. They gave so much money to the church. Not a need. There wasn't a leak in the tent. It's just that there was a spirit of giving. And a need offering never exceeds a generous offering. Did I make that clear? When we give because we just honor him, we just love him, We just glorify him. Nobody's got to twist our arm. Nobody has to pinch our ear. We just know that he's worthy of everything we give him. And he never keeps what we give him. When Abraham, God came to Abraham and said, I received your tithe that you sent to me through Melchizedek. Abraham, I don't need your money. I don't operate my kingdom on finances. I am not a consumer. I am a creator. And Abraham picked up a handful of sand, count the sand. And he said, God, it'll take me decades. Oh, Abraham, you don't have to count the sand. Just an idea of how much I'm going to bless you like the sands of the sea. Because you have given, I'm going to give. When you give, it does something to God. It touches God. It's a part of God's emotional construct. He knows when we give something to him. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Abraham, go to bed early. You and Sarah, drink some soup, and I'll be back about midnight. Goes to his tent, wakes him up, get up, lays the bones, and stand out here. Tonight I want you to count the stars. And Abraham starts counting the stars. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you like the stars of the firmament. With the naked eye, you can count anywhere on planet Earth on a starry night, 1,900 stars. With a 20-inch telescope, you can count 2 million stars. With the Hubble telescope, you can count billions of stars. And our God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you like the stars of the firmament. We have no idea how big the heart of God really is. We really don't understand a God that is total giving, total giving, total giving. God is a river. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And he said, no man, having left houses, lands, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, you can't lay a slab of meat on God's altar and it rot. In history, no sacrifice has ever rotted on God's altar. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Has God ever blessed anybody in this church? Has God ever opened the windows of heaven? Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, you're different, God. You're different, God. You're holy. We don't know what all God's doing right now. But God's doing something in this audience right now. While Peter was preaching the word, the Holy Ghost was falling. We don't know what God's doing in your Holy Ghost heart right now. Would somebody just open your heart right now? Just open up. There's some Holy Ghost wanting to come in. Just open up. Just feel free. Open up. Open up your mind. Come on, Holy Ghost. Give me Holy Ghost mind. Give me a Holy Ghost thought pattern. Get my mind off of this world. Get my mind off of the carnal things of this world. Oh, God, deliver me from a spirit of selfishness. I don't want to go to hell and be talking about me, me, me. Water, 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 drop, drop, me, me. I want to go to heaven and be thee, thee. Worship you, praise you. Give you all the glory to your name. Holy, 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 holy. Holy. Five years ago, Jerry and I preached up north on a cold wintertime revival. And a man came up on the platform while after church and service, and he gave me a watch. And he said, the Holy Ghost told me to give you my watch. And last January, we were at Because of Times, and he's a layman, and he came up. And I hadn't seen him. I didn't know who he was. Didn't remember his face. He said, Brother Gidrose, do you remember what watch are you wearing, Brother Gidrose? And I showed him my little watch, and he said, Brother Gidrose, do you remember that watch I gave you on the platform several years ago? I said, I do. He said, Brother Gidrose, you know why I gave you that watch? I said, why? He said, because while you were preaching, God delivered me from a pornography habit that was destroying my marriage and destroying my life. And I was preaching about the cross, and I didn't know what God was doing, but God was going deep into that man's heart. And he hugged me big, and he said, you're my favorite preacher, Brother Gidrose, because God, while you were preaching, delivered me from pornography. I don't know what God is doing in somebody's heart tonight. But if you've got a love of money in your heart, you need to let God come in that heart. If all you think about is money, 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 you need to get God, God, God in your heart. I want to close with this. I want to close with this. I need your attention for just one more minute. Our God, everybody say, our God is so in to give, and it shall be given, that he is going to reward himself for giving his only begotten son on the cross with a glorious church. He's going to present to himself. Even God's going to reward God for giving. Come on, if God's going to reward himself, and you are God's reward for going to the cross. You are God's reward. I want you to stand and just declare victory in your heart right now. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive deliverance from every bad habit. in your name. I paint every person with your blood right now. In the name of Jesus, I apply every stripe that you bore on your back to every disease and every sickness. By faith, somebody reclaim your position of worship and press. Somebody press your way into God's holiness. Press. Holy. Come on, somebody. Press. Receive deliverance. Come be anointed with oil. Come be anointed with oil. Don't lose your place. Don't lose your place in God's kingdom by losing your worship. Press. I'm pressing my way. The violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. I'm not going to lose my place. When I lose my worship, I lose my place. I'm going to give God glory. It's not going to be me. It's going to be thee. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of my flesh. Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Somebody begin to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gives you the utterance. Come on, young people. Press. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will. Anda yala la 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 maki anda yala mashataya. Yanda yala la la. Come on, everybody gather in. There's an apostolic gathering of God's power here tonight.